Berryman put the rifle under his chin and looked at the desert through its crystal-clear sight. There were telephone poles that were connected to nothing, with functionless blue-green cups up and down their sides. There was an ancient highway bump sign, its black lettering stretched high on rusted gold. There was a puny rabbit peeking out of a hole in the ground, and a bird with a song like electricity. Berryman could see bacteria squirming in the hot air. He squeezed the trigger, lightly, like a piano player. The slender rifle barked, jerked to the right. The bump sign was left intact. Berryman carefully squeezed again. Nothing. He took more time, barely touching the trigger, knowing he had the crotch of the M, missing everything. Berryman fired and missed. Fired and missed. He began to perspire. His arms and eyes weren't making sense together. He stopped everything. He set the rifle against the car for a moment and collected his thoughts. It was his style, automatic. He calmly unscrewed the rifle's sight with his penknife. He fired a single shot without the sight. Gold metal disappeared and the bump sign burst open through its back. Berryman continued until he had shot the sign away, made it nothing. Then he drove on. He didn't recognize the outskirts of Amarillo. There were hundreds of quick food stops, supermarkets with corny names, drive-ins showing quadruple beaver movie features. He stopped at one of the many taco places. He had a beer, then he called an old girlfriend named Bobby Sue Gary, now Bobby Sue Peterson. Sitting on the orange tile floor outside the phone booth, Thomas Berryman talked to the girl about old times. He gulped sweat-cold pearl tall boys, smoked a half a pack of picayunes, ate a taco that was tasty as a fist. "My husband's night shift supervisor for Shell Oil," Bobby Sue said. "There are airplanes and bats flying all over this desert," Berryman reported on the scene out the Taco Palace window. "Well, I have 3 children now, and 1 in the hopper," Bobby Sue reported. "Well, I don't give a flying fuck," Berryman said. "I want you to get into a party dress. We're going to party." "Tom," she complained in a light-hearted, giggling voice, "you just trying to get into my panties all over again. I'm married now. No more hotsy-totsies for Bobby. I have my responsibilities now." "Oh, come on, Bobby," Thomas Berryman was laughing hard. "Don't you want to get into my pants?" That said, he told her he was on his way. Bobby Sue Gary Peterson had grown slightly rat-faced over the years. The nipples of her breasts were dark brown and showing through her blouse. They looked unattractive. On account of all this, he took her to the dark cocktail lounge at the 710 bowling alleys. But he was pleased with her looks, really. Bobby Sue wore a red A-line skirt umbrellaed out over seamed stockings. She wore black pumps with blue ribbons over her toes. She drank Singapore slings, and they both ate the special chicken fried steaks. Thomas Berryman got high on Bobby Sue. "What's it like?" he asked, kissing old Tommy Peterson. "Just tell me that one thing. I'll go away from here content. I'll sing in that jet back to New York City." She was patting his leg and saying, "Now, now, now." He was just like he'd never gone away and they were still high school sweethearts. "Don't give me that now, now, now stuff. Come on, babe." "It's like kissing." "No. Come on, babe. Fess up. Reverend Thomas is here." "Like a rug on a floor, kissing it." "Bobby Sue," Berryman howled with delight. "That's terrible, babe." He was laughing and talking southern, and she thought he was hilarious. A white moon rode the dark Texas skies as they fornicated in the big, cushy Lincoln. Sergeant Ames found him asleep in the rocker beside his father's bed. It was morning. The judge's thing was lying out of his pajamas, large as a king post. As he revived the judge, Sergeant Ames told young Tom an old story about falling asleep on a cattle drive, waking and finding he was being circumcised. Old Tom Berryman just lay on the bed and looked at the paperback on the floor near the rocker. It was Jiminy. After some puckering and smacking his lips, he asked his son if he was reading about Jimmy Horn. "Well, yes, I am," Berryman said. "Well, good for you, then," the old man struggled with each word. He seems like a hell of a good nigger." Berryman spent the morning back in Amarillo, arranging for the visa in the name of Caresti. His supplier was an egotistical Mexican artiste who hand-lettered the document himself. For his morning's drawing, he earned $300. That afternoon, Berryman flew back to meet the man who was paying heavily to have Horn killed. This man was ex-Tennessee Governor Jefferson John Boy Terrell. Thomas Berryman was calm as a snake after its sunbath.